For KZYX News, this is Hope McKenney. A controversial plan to log miles of the Wallala River floodplain is back on track after being on hold for a number of years. Opponents of the plan previously thwarted attempts to log the area by convincing a judge the timber harvest plan failed to analyze environmental impacts fully. They sued CAL FIRE again in April, just days after the agency renewed its approval to move forward with the harvest plan. Opponents say even the revised project remains deficient in its assessment of risks and potential impacts, which they claim could further degrade the watershed, which is already considered impaired under the Federal Clean Waters Act because of high temperature and excessive sediment after a century of logging. I spoke to Greg Kamen, a hydrologist who works in the field of ecosystem enhancement and restoration, who started working in the Wallala River watershed over 15 years ago, about his assessment of the current state of the river.
About 99% of the Wallala River watershed is privately owned, and anywhere from 34 to 40% of that property is owned by timber companies. The impacts associated with logging are increased sedimentation. A study done by the State Geological Survey found that the amount of sediment delivery making it to the rivers has almost tripled as of 2003, I think was the date of that study. And that's triple over what would be a natural delivery. You know, the human activities in the watershed have accelerated and exacerbated that process. There's also been a history of water development. The rural development, housing, and vineyards, they all have increased the amount of surface water diversions as well as groundwater diversions. That is most important during the summer when we have very low base flows. There's also been a history of gravel extraction. The problem with that is it disturbs the geomorphic setting of the channel. There's a number of riffles and pools that are important for hosting young juvenile fish and other aquatic organisms. So it has a direct impact on very specific habitat conditions within the river that are important to the fish.
Does the increased sediment and erosion and even the water diversions affect various species in the river?
Oh, absolutely. Under the Federal Endangered Species Act, coho salmon have been listed as a federal and state endangered species. The populations of the coho have essentially been eliminated from the watershed. Similarly, steelhead, the numbers have been declining over time, and so both the feds and the state have listed that species as threatened. Recovery plans have been developed, and those plans are intended to protect and restore these fish populations. Kind of the tip of the iceberg with respect to what is the most limiting factor that's impacting these fish species is the summertime rearing habitat for the juvenile fish. So in the winter, the adults come up, they spawn, they lay their eggs, and those eggs hatch, and then those fish will reside in the creek over the next summer. So those juvenile fish need to have cover and food and good water quality. And a lot of that comes from, again, the geomorphic conditions of the bed. Deep pools are critical. Cool water temperatures are critical. The sediment coming down basically is filling in these important habitat features. The pools are getting filled in, they're getting shallower. It goes subsurface. The water's still there, it's just not on the surface anymore and available to the fish.
Is there anything else that you can tell me or that I should have asked?
What some folks were curious about was climate change. And what I can say definitively is there will be warmer air temperatures, which are going to also lead to warmer water temperatures. And so that's just going to put more emphasis and need for shading of the creeks. But it will also mean that there's increased evaporation. So we won't have as much rainwater available for infiltrating into the ground and recharging groundwater. The latest hypotheses on climate change suggest that we're going to see greater extreme wet and dry cycles. And so we'll have greater intensity floods and more intense droughts. The greater intensity floods in a erosion-prone watershed just mean, you know, there might be more large-scale episodic erosion and sediment delivery to the river. with respect to the droughts, that could mean that there's a greater wildfire hazard.
It sounds like with the impact of climate change and the impact of logging and building roads and everything, that things are just going to continue to get worse.
So I'd say one measure of success is, can we recreate the optimal salmonid habitat? And that is, can we bring back deep, complex pools and the large wood that's an important component to that? Can we protect and restore the water supply that maintains the flow in the rivers? Can we restore the cool water temperatures? And all of that will then enhance the habitat for the fish numbers to come back. Unfortunately, the trends that I'm seeing are continuing to go in the other direction. Even if we maintain the status quo, it's an impacted system. So there's a lot of dramatic changes that need to happen if we're going to turn the tide and reverse the trends of sediment, water quality, and most importantly, fish populations. Instead of our existing politicians and resource managers taking the lead on that, a lot of times it falls into the hands of the public and the nonprofit groups and the environmentalists and associated legal teams to take that onus upon themselves to make the change.
For KZYX News, I'm Hope McKenney.